Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana. I'll be your host for this hour, and I'll be joining you every fourth Thursday of the month. We are on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you'd like to see the wide range of programming that we have, from The Gathering, which is on the first of the month, to the third Thursday of the month, we have Mediums and Messages program. And this program is called Signs of Life Radio Light, where we bring you certain guests that have had inspiring situations that might bring you closer to understanding life after life. This program is brought to you by Hugs from Heaven, turning loved ones' clothing into loving memories. Hugs from Heavens are pillows, blankets, shoulder wraps, and sachets, lovingly hand-sewn using the fabric from your loved one's clothing. Each Hugs is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Please visit hugsfromheavens.com. That's Hugs, H-U-G-Z, from heavens.com. We'd like to thank you very much for them for sponsoring today's special programming. If you're interested in being a sponsor for an upcoming radio program, we could really would love to see that your support supporting this wonderful programming that's brought to you by the not-for-profit Forever Family Foundation. If you go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you can see those opportunities, and not only will you get great exposure for your business, you'll also be helping out us, bringing you wonderful programming. A long tunnel, a bright light, meeting up with your loved one who has passed before you, getting a feeling of a higher self, and then somebody telling you it's not your time and you have to go back. These are common things that have occurred for those who have had a near-death experience. Recently, in an NBC online poll asking you if you believe in a near-death experience, the results were very surprising. Out of 10,000 online participants, 89% said that they do believe. Where do you fall? Do you believe in near-death experiences? And according to the Association of Near-Death Studies, between 4 to 5% of the world's population, that's the world's population, has had a near-death experience. Well, we'll be really lucky this hour because we will be joined by an author who has had a near-death experience. Tonight, we'll be speaking with Louisa Peck. She's author of Spiritual Evolution, How 14 After Effects of a Near-Death Experience Helped Cure My Addiction and Changed My Life, and also God Evolved, Reflections from a Near-Death Experience. This particular author had degrees from Vassar College. She had many awards during her college years. But after her years in college, she felt a little unresolved about her life. Then she went to New York City and had a different life-changing experience. And she'll be with us to talk about that shortly. So we'd really love to have you join in, ask questions, especially if you've had a near-death experience. Maybe you can share your experience with Louisa, and she can give you some sense on how that falls from her experience. That's what this program is all about, Signs of Life Radio. We'd love you to get involved. So give us a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Before we actually get to her, I do want to take a few moments to talk about some events that are coming up for the Forever Family Foundation. And if this is your first time listening, we want to thank you for joining in and being a part of the program. This is really just one aspect of what the foundation offers. The Forever Family Foundation has its radio show, and it's been brought to you to bring enlightenment and have you understand the many facets of not only the scientific community and certain ideas in life after life, but also to bring about a conversation of sparking interest in realizing that our loved ones do live on. And that extension and that thought is brought through the foundation with their events. And if you go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you'll see the wonderful events they have. There are two coming up that I'd like to talk about. One of them, if you happen to be in the New York area in Long Island, there is a wonderful event that's happening on July 29th at 7 p.m. at Long Island University. It's called The Afterlife, A Scientist's View by Dr. Piero Calvi-Parsetti, a medical doctor who is an afterlife researcher. He presents an overview of the scientific evidence suggesting that we do indeed survive physical death. And in the second part of this program, we'll be joined by a certified medium of the foundation, Laura Lynn Jackson. She'll conduct spirit communication as further evidence of an afterlife. If you'd like more information on that, you can go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Another event that's absolutely spectacular, and it's been going on for quite a few years, it's our Afterlife Exploration Retreat, Transforming Grief, Building a Bridge Between Two Worlds. It's really an all-inclusive weekend of like-minded people and experiencing certain facilitators that come together to share, learn, and explore and discover. I think that's the beautiful thing about the foundation. I think there was a time not too long ago that if you've had, a near-death experience, or you've lost a loved one and you've had, say, a visit when you're dreaming, there was really not a safe space to talk about it. You were kind of left to your own feelings and keeping them inside. And if you dare told anybody, they'd kind of look at you cross-eyed. Well, when you're going through grief and you're trying to also explore the continuity of life and the continuation of your relationship with your loved ones, it's really nice to be around like-minded people. And what I've heard from participants that have gone through the Forever Family Foundation Afterlife Exploration Retreat is that they walk away feeling a sense of community, but also validation of the feelings that they've had on a private level. And I think that's what many people seek. I know as a medium, when I read someone, they want the validation and the evidence that their loved ones are with them. Well, the beautiful thing about this retreat is there will be mediums there, but there'll also be people who have grief recovery techniques. There'll be psychic development exercises, meditation and mindfulness techniques, strategies for transforming your grief towards healing. I don't personally feel you can heal grief, but having the hope to feel a healing sensation so that you can hopefully work on your relationship with contacting them on your own. They give you wonderful techniques for that. And presentations on evidence of an afterlife to give you that sensation and evidence that your loved ones are still with you. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. It begins July 25th, ends July 27th. It's a beautiful weekend from Friday to Sunday. It's held at the Guesthouse Retreat and Conference Center in Chester, Connecticut. It's a beautiful area. I think I actually went to the first one. I had the honor of doing mediumship, and it is a wonderful event. So if it's something that you're interested in, I suggest you consider going to foreverfamilyfoundation.org to see how you can be a part of it. Some of the facilitators taking part in this special event are Piero Calvi-Parsetti. He's the doctor that we spoke about that will actually be in Long Island as well. Bob Ginsberg and Fran Ginsberg, who are founders of the Forever Family Foundation, Laura Lynn Jackson, who's a psychic medium, Garrett Jackson, certified consulting hypnosis, and Dave Kane. This happens to be the facilitators that are taking part in a special session. I should be very clear, for bereaved parents only. You'll see the breakdown when you go to the website. But the weekend facilitators are the ones that I just mentioned, along with Doreen Malloy, who's not only a spiritual medium, but she's also a grief recovery specialist. Mo Trace Hanna, who's a clinical psychologist. Rebecca Ann LeCicero, who's another certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and author. Laura Lynn Jackson, a certified medium. Siri Burnson, another certified medium. Garrett Jackson, who is a certified consulting hypnotist. Tom Gould, a musician. Donna Mello, a Reiki master. And Robin Murray, another Reiki master. So it's really a rounded out weekend. If you do go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you'll find more details on the different things that they're offering. And again, that's in July at the Chester House Retreat Center. That's in Chester, Connecticut. And it's the Guest House Retreat Center, I should say, and it's July 25th to July 27th. We hope to see you there. Now, what we're going to do is take a short break right now. When we come back, we'll be speaking to a very interesting guest, Louisa Peck, so I hope you can join us. We'll be right back.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life,
brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host for this wonderful hour. My name is Angelina Diana, and you're listening to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. Now, imagine a long tunnel, a bright light, and meeting up with your loved ones who have passed before you. This occurrence of a near-death experience has happened to quite a few people if you take the world's population into an account. According to the Association of Near-Death Studies, between 4 to 15% of the world's population has experienced this. And I feel very lucky to be speaking with our guest for this hour. Her name is Louisa Peck. She's written a very interesting book that in this book, it includes her near-death experience, but it does talk about how it's helped cure her addiction and changed her life. She also has another book called God Evolved, Reflections from Near-Death Experience. I'd like to take this moment to welcome Louisa Peck to the program. Hi, Louisa.
Hi, Angelina. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're really excited to have you. First, before we actually talk about the near-death experience, I think it would be really interesting to share with our listeners maybe your thoughts and feelings about your upbringing and what was that like as a young adult, and your philosophies in your family before you had your near-death experience.
Okay, well, we were raised to believe that science had disproved any kind of spiritual world and to be atheists, in short. My dad had been raised Catholic, and when he rejected the Catholic Church, he rejected the whole thing, threw the baby out with the bathwater. There is nothing. So that was pretty much drilled into us from a young age, and when I went to school, I stayed with that view.
Now, what did you study when you were in college?
English literature. Such a moneymaker.
Interesting. Now, you actually went to Vassar, and you found some success there while you were studying. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my undergraduate work. Yeah, I came from an alcoholic family, and it was one where we were very strongly pressed to excel. There are different kinds of alcoholic families, and in our case, we had to look perfect to the outside world, and that meant that not only was it for others, it was also that my parents had, I think academia was almost their religion.
Gotcha.
So I had to excel.
And going to Vassar, that makes sense, because it's a very good school.
Well, so my mom had gone there also, and so, it was, you know, you get the picture. It was kind of like I was just channeled, and you're young and you don't have any insights of your own, so you do what you're told.
Sure.
They said, you know, go there and excel. So I did.
You did. But after you graduated, how did you feel?
I had no direction. When nobody was giving me papers to write anymore, no more tests to study for, nowhere, I didn't know how to live life. You know, I was also already drinking heavily, so the only thing I knew to do was to go to nightclubs and make those my new classrooms. I was going to excel at the nightclubs.
I see. So you went from really a childhood that was filled with really being an atheist, and you found your calling by doing well in school. And after that, you felt a little less spectacular about things. So you really moved your life into the nightclub scene and really falling, if we were all completely honest, more into your addictions. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I have no trouble saying that. It was more that now I was away from home and away from school, and I could just let it rip.
So tell us how this near-death experience occurred for you.
Okay. Well, I was going out with a friend of a guy I'd just broken up with, and he was a coke dealer, and he brought a huge amount of coke for this night out.
Wow.
And we did all of it, and then I said, I want more, I need more. So we pooled our money in the nightclub, and we asked around, and somebody pointed out a kind of shady-looking character in the back of this dark seating area, and they said, he's selling. So we bought supposedly half a gram from him, but it was actually lidocaine. We didn't.
Wow.
I've only put together since it was lidocaine by talking to my friends who were also coke dealers in those days. And lidocaine it's like Novocaine. It will numb your gums, so it's very easy to pass it off. But it did nothing to get us high, so my friend said, I don't want this. It's not doing anything for me. So I said, fine, I'll do it all. And I did. And it shuts down your central nervous system if you ingest it.
So what did the actual experience, if you can take our listeners from start to finish of your near-death experience, what did you see? Did you see the classic lights in front of you, the tunnel? What did it feel like?
I had come out from the bathroom and I had very bad tunnel vision. My friend got the bartender to give me a glass of water. And I was saying, there's no air, because my heart had slowed down. You know, I've read since that it goes as slow as 10 beats a minute. And so to me, even though I was gasping for breath, I wasn't getting any air. And I couldn't believe other people weren't suffocating as well, because it seemed to me there wasn't any. Anyway, he gave me a glass of water, and just to please them, I took a sip. As soon as I took a sip, it seemed to me what I first thought had happened. I thought I had collapsed and hit my chin on the bar. That's what I thought, because I shot up in the air.
Oh.
And it sort of like was in Alice in Wonderland. You know, there's that description of just going way up, but I was flying up. And it's very odd. I was speaking to a friend that also had an NDE. You don't question these once you're out of your body. I was suddenly flying into a clear blue sky. There's no what happened to the nightclub, where did everybody go. There was just this freedom of flying into this beautiful, clear blue sky. Then I arched my back, and I did a sort of backward swan dive, and below me was the ocean. So I dove down toward the ocean. I had a thought, not really fear, but I remembered that when you hit water going very quickly, it's like hitting concrete. So I thought, what's going to happen? And I just penetrated the water seamlessly, no problem. And then I had another moment, how am I going to get back to the surface? But I could see this beautiful dappling surface above me, and it was so, beauty on the other side is not something you see, it's something you feel. And I was just so filled with joy to see it and then to come up and reach it. Then I saw a shore, and as soon as you will to be somewhere, you're there. So next thing I'm wading out of the waves, and I look around, I'm on a beach, and down the beach I see a mesa. Sort of like just rising up from the beach with an old blue weather-worn house on it. And I knew that was my family's house. I knew we all go there. So I went to it, and before I could get to it, there were these rocks covered with oozy, gross stuff. And a lot of NDEs have oozy, gross stuff, and I think it's got to do with our resentments, all the ugly stuff we carry with them. I lost my body, and I had to climb through all this stuff, and I didn't like it, but I was intent on getting to the house, so I did it. And by the time I reached the door sill, I had no more height. I was right at the level of the door sill.
So you actually viewed all of this negative stuff. You kind of mentioned that kind of reflected the negativity of life as you were going.
This is something that I've kind of conjectured since my NDE.
Oh, so you weren't experiencing that at the same
time? At the time, I just thought it was yucky. That's all I knew.
Well, that's very interesting to know, because I'm just wondering at what time during your experience were you at your highest level of consciousness about that and alertness? You know, was
it? Not yet. No, mine
not
is
yet.
Different. I have a kind of an NDE for dummies, because it doesn't, I don't, I'll just tell you what happened. You can decide.
No, that's okay. No, it's everyone has different kinds of NDEs, you
right.
know, so don't,
right.
don't feel it's for dummies. I think everybody
okay.
experiences the other side sometimes according to the physical life you've led, but go right ahead.
Yes.
So you climbed through this muck.
I traveled over the floor, and it was very, very worn. I could see every fiber of the wood, and it had almost been pounded to sawdust. And I knew that was from all my ancestors having traveled through it. The only one I felt, I saw no one, I was alone, but I felt my grandfather on my father's side, who was the only one who passed before I was born. And I could feel his loving presence, that he was so happy that I was coming to join them because I never got to meet him or see him in real life. So
Wow. Anyway,
I just felt his happiness, and I saw an armchair facing a great big picture window that looked out on the ocean, and I had this joy of feeling that's where all my ancestors have sat, and they love this beautiful view of the ocean. And then I moved toward the window, but I was so close to the ground, I thought I'm not going to be able to see out it. And as soon as I had that thought, something sucked me up. I went over the windowsill, and I zoomed over the reflection of the sun that was dappling across the ocean. And that was my tunnel, because there was the zooming sensation. There was a tremendous feeling of getting pulled forward, almost by my heart, almost by my sternum. It was a delicious feeling, and I was so filled with joy, excitement. Fear just doesn't, I didn't feel any fear.
That's good.
But the sun got bigger and bigger, and then I had a realization, like, oh my God, I'm going to go into the sun. And then, poof, I was in it.
Wow.
And from then on, I saw nothing but light. The light was so bright, and yeah, it was like completely overexposed, nothing I could see, but it just felt like incredible love, just amazing love, and I became aware of a parent holding me. I can't say which gender, but it was as if I was a tiny infant, and I was just absolutely adored, and I was just a sponge for it. I could just soak up, you are so loved, you are so loved.
Now, I'm curious, did you see, hear, or feel that?
No, I only felt the love. I only felt
the
love, and all I could see was the light. And I loved the parent back. Like, I sort of had a sense of you. It's you. And I knew I loved the parent with everything in me. And then the exchange, the parent loves me, I love the parent, sort of melted away from me. And it was just love. Like, love just is. Light, love, warmth, wonderful. That's all I was filled with completely.
You know, Louisa, I hear that a lot with near-death experiences. The feelings that are felt at that point of feeling what the other side is like. And what's interesting is how many words and explanations you can say with just feelings. You know, it's not words being told to you. It's just an inner knowing and an interconnectedness that you feel that love on the other side. No one has to tell you this is where love is. It's felt, you know, and that's a very common thing I hear with near-death experiences, that you describe so many things and it wasn't told to you by words. You know, it's a very beautiful thing that you just said, and you got to feel that.
It's
very beautiful.
The love is so all-consuming that you have no space left for anything else. That's what I felt like.
That's beautiful.
Every receptor of my being was filled with love. And but then, non-verbally, the voice said, and this is like a telepathic communication.
Sure.
You can't stay. You're not done yet.
A very common thing. You hear that a lot. You also hear that a lot with a lot of NDEs, that they say it's not your time. You have to go back. So then what happened to you?
It had this finality, the feeling the parent was just gone. They said this and it was gone. I threw a conniption fit. I turned into a squalling brat. I had the feeling that if I screamed no loud enough, if I was angry enough, I could make the parent take me back to the light.
Wow.
And I think this is, I talk about this in my God Evolved book, that I think that we're sealed in a sort of a coating of fear / anger / separation. And that when you are put back in your body, when you don't choose to, you pass through this rage. And I would have kicked the parent in the shins if I had the chance. I was so the opposite of what I had been. I was so angry. Then I had a brief sense of like, oh no, because everything had gone completely black and I had a sense of falling and I was like, oh no. And then I saw these little chalk stick figures that were kind of prancing about doing cartwheels and flips as if they were on a blackboard and animated. And I thought, oh, the parent does still love me. It's given me this toy to just keep me occupied and entertained until I can go back to the light. Hmm. Which, when you think about it, is sort of a metaphor for life.
Sure. Wow.
But we started going on swings, and they were doing all these sort of little playground things, and then I began to hear them, and they were saying nonsense things like, you know, how does a hippo make a hopscotch, and how many films make a flim-flam, and they were just singing happy little things like that I was watching, and I didn't feel they could see me. It was more like watching TV.
Oh, wow.
But then one of them, the round face, filled in solid white and came very close to me, and it started saying, how many fingers? What is your name? And I had this moment of realizing, oh, my God, I know what this is. I'm a me, and he's a him, and we're separate, and he wants me to use that tongue thing and move it around and make noise to say something. And it felt like I can't do this stuff again. I am done with this stuff. It felt like if somebody told you you were going to spend the rest of your life in kindergarten.
Wow.
Like every day.
Gotcha.
It felt too primitive, because once I had done the telepathic communication, even though it was that short exchange, making noise with our breath just seemed like hitting coconuts together or something. So
that's a very interesting observation you just made, because if you think about in the physical world, how we get hung up in our languages with relationships. Somebody could mm-hmm. say something and it gets you upset, and, you know, you pull away from someone because they said something that hurt you.
Yeah.
And here it is, you had that example of feeling ultimate love through telepathic energy, and now mm-hmm. you're being forced to go back into a language that mm-hmm. is a representation of the physical. Am I catching what happened
yes,
to you?
It just seemed very primitive.
Yeah,
sort of burp out noises that mean certain things. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't want to, but I realized that I had no choice. So I said three, and then I said Louisa, and then I realized I was lying on the ground in a puddle of water. I thought they had thrown water on me, but it was actually all my own sweat. And
wow.
I was all dressed up in my nightclub clothes, but the bartender had done CPR on me, he said, for 3 minutes or more.
Wow.
No response. I had a grand mal seizure. The next day I was all bruised on the back of my hands and elbows and everything. And
now, I have a question for you, if I may. He said that he was doing CPR on you for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How can you place a time frame of how long you felt the experience was to you on the other side?
I can't.
You can't? Okay.
It was much longer than 3 minutes, that's for
okay.
sure.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, if it was actually longer. And the time that you were on the other side, is there anything... I mean, it all sounds like a profound, profound experience, but is there anything that you can still feel now in sensation as you recount it, or are you just reporting it back like a reporter? Like, do you have any highs from, no pun intended.
I have highs when I meet with another person who's had a near-death experience,
and we
talk about our guardian angels or our experience, then I get it. When I hear a speaker at IONS who has had a near-death experience, I get a sort of a secondhand high. And I've talked about this with fellow NDAers. We all do. Unless it's somebody like Betty Eady, who's told it so many times that they're not going there. You know,
it's
kind of just rehearsing the words, and it's not really like they're reliving it. When someone relives it, they emanate some light.
See, we're speaking with Louisa Peck, who underwent a near-death experience in 1982, which did nothing to change her life at first, but mm-hmm. eventually the NDA had changed Louisa despite all resistance. And what we're going to do now is we're going to pick things up after the commercial break of how you felt right after the experience, and then how your world started to open up from this experience. So we are going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio. We'll be right back.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren, at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. laurenhalpern@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the program, Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm your host for this hour, Angelina Diana, and you could participate in this conversation if you'd like, if you've had a near-death experience, or you have some questions for our wonderful guest, Louisa Peck. You can give us a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Hi, Louisa. Welcome back to the program.
Hi. Good to be here.
And we spent the first half of the program talking about a very, I think, beautifully explained near-death experience, of which you, as you went through it, I think the most striking thing for me was you were told by the bartender who gave you CPR that you're out for 3 minutes, but it felt like a longer time on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with those feelings, after you came into your body, just before that, you had had almost an angry feeling because you had to come back. Is that correct?
Correct.
So how did it?
I just want to add one more thing about the light.
Oh, sure. Which is please.
That I had spent my whole life trying to achieve, trying to be told that I was good enough. You know, mm-hmm. that I was. What do I want to say? That I had made the mark and I was lovable, and I had not gotten that. And
wow.
It was almost as if the parent knew that, almost as if the parent had been waiting to complete me.
To validate you. Wow.
Yes. And it was so, I mean, it just, everything I had wanted in my time on the planet, everything that I'd been chasing, everything that I'd, it was there, and you know, 1,000 times more. It was utter fulfillment.
It's very interesting. So after you had said you were revived by the bartender, and mm-hmm. You realize you're back here in your physical body, mm-hmm. did you tell anybody right away about your experience?
Well, you have to. I was 22, and I was not going to, what do I want to say? When I first came back, I had kind of the demeanor of a five-year-old. I didn't even realize at first when we were waiting outside that we were waiting for an ambulance for me. And when I figured out that it was for me, or asked and found out, then I said, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'll get in trouble, you know, because I thought of my parents finding out. So we jumped in a cab and went straight back to my apartment in Manhattan.
Wow. Wow.
Without ever getting checked out. Everybody was pounding on the back of the taxi because it was crazy, you know. And sure enough, the next day I couldn't read some words in the newspaper. The one I remember best I couldn't read is helicopter. It looked like it was written in Arabic.
So in some ways you almost felt like, if you kind of, I guess, interpret that, it's almost like you were reborn again. You know, in some ways,
yeah,
you
when
think
I was
about
a little
it.
Girl, yeah, I was a little girl, except that I was a bratty little girl. I didn't thank the bartender who had helped me, and I went right back to being very concerned with what people thought, and didn't like that people staring at me, and just wanting to get out of there. And then by morning, I wanted to make this thing small. I wanted to go back to my comfortable beliefs of science and, you know, that there's only the physical world and that's it. And so I was, as I was saying to Angelina on the break, when you have a choice between rewriting your entire schema of the universe and your place in it, that there is a God, that there is another side, that there are spirits, that we don't die with our bodies, or it was a drug trip. I'm going to choose drug trip when I'm 22 because it's a lot simpler.
Exactly.
And so I told my roommate about it, but I told her kind of sarcastically, like, you know, then this happened, and then there was this parent that was holding me with all this love, and then it said you can't stay, and she was kind of like, wait a minute, was that God, you think? And I just remember we just kind of looked at each other, and I felt very, very uncomfortable, and I just said, yeah, that was like God, and I wouldn't open my heart to it. I just was back in the fear body and not.
We're speaking with Louisa Peck, who's author of quite a few books, one of them being what you would refer to as her addiction memoir, A Spiritual Evolution, Coming to Recognize God in All That Lives. Also, A Spiritual Evolution, How 14 After Effects of a Near-Death Experience Helped Cure My Addiction and Changed My Life. Now, while your book is about really your addiction, what's profound about it is that this experience that you've explained shifted you into wanting to make your life better. And you talk about these 14 after effects. What was one of the most, in the beginning stages, after you went from saying, I'm not going to tell anyone about this, there's no such thing as another side, to what started to shift you into thinking, I think I did have an after-death experience or near-death experience because this happened?
Well, I really didn't, until I went to IONS, I didn't dare tell anyone unless I was very drunk. I didn't know how to talk about it without having a great big, you know, loony on my forehead. So I didn't. For me, though, with each weird thing that happened, I was again baffled, again unable to explain, and had to move a little closer to saying, maybe there is more than the physical plane. So when I, for example, was nearing my bottom alcoholically, I drove incredibly drunk home from a party where people had taken my keys away, but I had found them again. And I drove really fast on these windy country roads, and when I crossed over this bridge with railroad signs on either side of it, I saw about 10 of them, and I was like, I don't care if I die. And I just zoomed through it at 80 miles an hour, and I didn't hit anything. When I got home, I got out of my car, and I was very proud of myself, and I thought, I am such a badass. And I got out of the car, and I was standing under the starry sky, and something like a bolt of lightning hit me from the outside. I want to say from the stars, but it's just, all I know is that it passed through my bones and into the ground, and it said, this is the last time I can help you.
Interesting.
And the thing is that I was plastered, and I remember that as clear as if it happened yesterday. And I went back into blackout after that and made a horrible mess in my house that I couldn't recognize when I woke up, but I remembered that moment.
Isn't that
something?
And then
I went to AA and I started getting sober, but I still wasn't really sure that I wanted to hook up with these people who believed in God and stuff. And I was going to go to a vodka slamming party, but not drink. And I bought all these near beers and stuff. And I did a little prayer before I came home. I took my dogs to a wilderness area for a walk. And I said, God, maybe I'm going to do this sobriety thing. Can you help me? And when I got home, I forgot to shut the gate, as I often did, but this time my dog ran out in the road and got hit by a truck and killed.
Sorry.
I was kneeling by her and watching her blood run into the pavement, and that same voice was very stern. My guardian angel's not usually that stern anymore, but it said, look. And it meant, look at the blood. Do you see the blood on the pavement? That's going to be you, because physical things happen. And I can't save you anymore. I mean, all it really said was look, but the contained in that was the knowledge that if I didn't quit messing around with drinking, I was going to die.
So let me ask you this, and I know there's some other experiences that are very interesting that we'll talk about, but do you believe to this day that because of your near-death experience that it made you more aware of the help that was there for you, and that maybe that help was always there, but you weren't as empathically connected to it?
I think that my near-death experience left a hole in the seal around me.
Okay.
And that's why I accidentally read people's thoughts. It's embarrassing when it happens, but it happens, and I have no control over it. It just sometimes thoughts leak from one person's head into my head, and I see what they're seeing, or I know what they're thinking, and I don't mean for that to happen. It just does, and on some occasions, it's been a little embarrassing. But I think that my guardian angel was able to speak to me and give me that warning. And I really don't know that I would have, that was 19 and a half years ago, and I haven't had a drink since. And I don't know that I would have been able to see the folly of my life if it hadn't sort of shaken me and said, wake up.
Do you find yourself more empathic towards people, more caring towards people after your near-death experience?
I wasn't right away, but it's more been that since I've turned to listen to that voice, it has told me. It's sort of like at first the voice had to yell at me for me to hear it. Now I hear it often. I had breast cancer recently, and friends came over, and they were... it was supposed to be my AA sobriety birthday, but instead it was I get to keep my boob party. And they were singing happy birthday to me, and I felt embarrassed, and I felt, oh, I get too much attention. I shouldn't do this. And a voice said to me, Louisa, this is as good as it gets. Just let them love you. They just want to love you. And I opened my heart and let them. And there just happened to be pictures taken of me then that show orbs. One orb.
Wow.
Right by, it seemed to talk from my left, and that's where the orb is.
Isn't that cool? That's really great.
Yeah, caught by multiple cameras, too.
That's really neat. What would you say is another profound experience that you had after your near-death experience that would, because there are a lot of accounts that say when someone does have a near-death experience, they are more psychic or more telepathic or even more empathic to the world.
Well, the one I think that is most valuable to listeners on this show is that my older sister had breast cancer and it metastasized. We were in the hospital, my brother and I spending the night in her room, and we had been told that she had 2 weeks left to live. We were there just in case she woke up or she needed something. We didn't think that she was going to pass. But I was asleep in a chair, and something told me, something's happening, she's going to go, you need to wake up. I woke up, and I had a sense, this is very hard to describe, of the light coming in the room. And this is the weird thing, it wasn't the same like brightness light, but it was coming in through the window of the hospital, and then kind of sinking down to the floor, and then pooling over my sister. And how it's very hard to describe that I could see it, not with my eyeballs, but with my intuition, that there were thousands, maybe millions of points of light gathering around her. And I had a sense they were family. I had a sense they were souls. And as they sort of pulled around her, they were gathering power to take her. But she had told my other sister, she had said, to die at 42, breast cancer is the biggest gift there is. Actually, she was 41. To die at 41 of breast cancer is the biggest gift there is. And she had, I knew, some kind of pain in her. Anyway, my guardian angel, the voice started saying, she's afraid. She can't cross. You need to help her. You need to tell her about the light. And I still, at that point, this is only... I don't know, I'm only 2 years sober, and I'm not 100% sure I believe all this stuff yet. And so I thought, that's ridiculous. She's got 2 weeks. I'm not going to do it. And the voice just kept it up. You need to help her. You need to tell her. Till finally, it's almost like, if you'll leave me alone, I'll do it. So wow. I went and I knelt down, and she had told me before that she could hear everything, even if she couldn't respond. That was something she had told me in a conversation.
Wow. So my question to you, I'm really curious if I may ask a question. Mm-hmm. When you say you heard the voice say that, was it the same feeling, the way that the voice communicated to you, that you felt when you were in the light on the other side, feeling the parental love? Did you receive the information the same way, or did you actually?
Yes, it comes not in words, but in knowledge.
Oh, interesting. Now, did you have that ability? I'm thinking no, but I'm curious. Did you ever have that ability, say, when you were studying for a class at Vassar, trying to, recall things? Did you ever feel like higher wisdom helping you? No, I'm just curious because I think it's. I know it seems funny too, but some people might want to know that difference. You know, and how profound really. your near-death experience is in your life, and how much it has changed things for you.
Right.
I think we have maybe another minute or so if we could share another experience that you had.
I just wanted to finish with my sister that I knelt down and I described the light to her. And she was Catholic, I was not, but I said, Jesus loves you and will take you, and you'll be surrounded by the light. And I described it to her as best I could, all the love she would feel. And I told her I loved her, we all loved her, and that, you know, it was just time to go. And I sat back down, and she died. She hemorrhaged about 20 minutes later. And then as I was running around screaming because she was hemorrhaging, I got very, very angry that no one was doing anything. And suddenly, all my anger was taken away from me, taken from me. I didn't decide to stop being angry. It was taken. And I felt her in the room telling me, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's wonderful. Don't worry. Don't worry. And she filled me back up with the light. It was as if I got to go back to that place of love because she had so much of it.
That's so beautiful, Louisa.
She's not in her body anymore.
That's so beautiful. We've been speaking with Louisa Peck, who is author of A Spiritual Evolution, How 14 After Effects of Near-Death Experience Help Cure Her Addictions. And she's also author.
You shouldn't buy unless you want to hear an awful lot about drinking. I just need to say that.
True, but I think the experiences of the afterlife are interesting in there. But I do want to thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your transformation from having a near-death experience. So I want to thank you, Louisa, for being with us.
You're so welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And I want to thank everyone for joining us for Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Angelina Diana, and I want to remind you that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Have a good night, everyone.